Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt. Nikki, we're back.
We're back.
You're Nikki Morissette.
And you're Todd L. Levitt.
We never left.
No, we didn't.
Do we ever leave the studio?
I don't think we do.
I love the studio.
I know.
Couches, refrigerator with water. As if there's going to be anything else.
Of course.
And even if there was, which there isn't, it's not like we're going to acknowledge that there was something.
That's true.
But we both said at the same time as if there was something.
That's right.
We have a huge show.
Oh, yes, we do. No, Once again.
The sound is clear. The mics are fresh. Your hair looks terrific.
Thank you.
I mean, what'd you do to it? People can't see you, so I have to describe you for them. But you're a beautiful lady.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Blonde hair. Big blue eyes, and today a button-down shirt as opposed to the t-shirt with the heart you wore last week.
That's right.
I'm just saying.
I know.
What a show.
It's going to be a huge show.
We have, folks, a ton of updates on laws that have gone up to the Court of Appeals, reversed back down to the Michigan Supreme Court, where the final decision has been brought down.
All right.
Bunch of appeals. We have shout outs.
Okay.
Always have shout outs.
Oh, always.
How was your week, by the way?
It was great.
Give me something that was exciting in Nikki Morissette's week last week.
I just got back from Cedar Point.
No.
So I took a mini vacation. I got back from Cedar Point.
Did you ride the coasters that night?
It wasn't nighttime, no, because we did have to drive back, but I did go on the slingshot. And you want to talk about amazing. I absolutely love it.
I mean, I know what a slingshot is, but I just imagine that you're like go back and then forward.
Yeah, where you're on the ground and you're let go and you just shot right up in the air. That was just so much fun.
I'm a front seat roller coaster guy.
A rear seat roller coaster person.
Okay, you're in the rear?
Back seat, yep.
Back seat, I'm front seat.
I like being in the back better.
But at night, if you go on a coaster at night and you're in the front, it's unbelievable.
Well, probably would be better because you get a better view.
Hey, I got some quick shout outs.
Okay.
First, next week on next week's show, Dr. Bob Peterson's coming back on.
All right, that's
good.
He's
running for 97th District House of Representatives. He won his primary.
Yes.
Big fan of Dr. Bob.
Okay.
He'll be on the show next week.
All right, that's
good. This is my fake radio voice. And in 2 weeks, my good friend Aaron Coltrane's coming on the show. Aaron, great guy, great friend. He's an attorney in Roscommon, Michigan.
Okay.
Sharp guy. I mean, you think I'm sharp. This guy is Hollywood.
All right.
I mean, he walks in a room, boom, you know he's there.
All right, looking forward to that show.
He's from Pennsylvania, where a great amount of quarterbacks come from. Joe Montana, Dan Marino, Aaron Coltrane, great lawyer, Roscommon, Michigan.
Okay.
Law offices of Brabant, I'm saying it wrong, and Coltrane. I love Roscommon Court.
Really?
I practice in Roscommon quite a bit myself, and Holly does a great job up there, Job Noble, Julie in the prosecutor's office. I mean, I can't brown nose enough. We got Mark Jernigan, we've got Jake, we've got Mary. Someone's trying to call my phone. I got to dump them. We're doing a show. Did I brown nose enough?
I think you did.
Okay, another shout out to my buddy, Danny Davis. I call him Danny. All my buddies named Dan, I call them Danny. Danny Davis, great guy from Merrill, Michigan. He works at Mount Pleasant Tire.
Okay.
I always go to Mount Pleasant Tire. They do a great job. If you go to Mount Pleasant Tire, my buddy Chiodini works there. Jason works there. And Dan Davis, great guy, did an outstanding service on my vehicle.
There you go.
You got to, there's not enough positive karma.
No, there's
people
not.
People complain too much.
They do.
I had some Midori sushi last week. We got a great sushi bar right here in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, Midori, downtown. And this is a shameless plug coming up. Texas Roadhouse, they're building in Mount Pleasant.
Really?
A Texas Roadhouse.
Oh, my gosh. I'm looking
Are you
forward
kidding
to
me?
That one.
Texas toast? whenever I toast, it burns. I can't figure out toast.
Are you serious?
I cannot toast anything. It doesn't matter. Bagels, toast, thin, wheat. My toasters never work properly. There's something wrong.
That's what those little dials are for, to tell you how many minutes you're toasting.
It doesn't matter.
Turn down your minutes.
It doesn't matter. There's a ghost playing with my toaster.
They don't want you having toast.
They don't want me having toast.
I love toast. It's a payback from your bettas.
My what?
Your betta fish.
No, betas.
Tuna. Betas.
Beta fish.
It's a payback for you eating tuna in front of them.
Do you want to hear what happened last week? I love tuna. You got a great tuna recipe. Do you want to hear what happened last week?
All right.
I've got it. I have an experience that all men can relate to.
Okay.
Not all men, most of the men, and maybe some of the women. I don't really talk about this subject with women too much, but I'm always traveling the roadways of Michigan.
Yes.
Always keeping the motorcycles in clear distance.
Right.
And respecting the 18-wheelers.
Correct.
And construction zones.
Oh, definitely.
And don't run over turtles.
No.
And folks, if there's already roadkill, I saw someone in front of me run over roadkill. Did you not see the skunk there in front of us?
If you could avoid it, avoid it.
No. As soon as this car in front of me hit the skunk, I had to follow this car on a backcountry road through Harrison, up in Harrison. Horrible.
Oh.
I had to go home and bathe in tomato juice. I'm just saying.
The smell lingered that far, eh?
I'm on the highway.
Okay.
I went to a rest stop.
Yeah.
Because we go to rest stops.
Right.
Dog runs, garbage, rest.
Right.
Bathroom.
Yes.
Men stand.
Yes, they do.
I'm standing. I'm not going to be specific, so if you're eating, don't worry. This is a family show.
Right.
For all 30 listeners. I'm standing. This is a true story. I'm standing, and there's a gentleman walks in next to me. And when you're a man in most of these locations, there's sort of a tile divider between the one urinal and the other urinal.
Okay.
I'm standing. There's a guy that comes in next to me, and you never, and as a guy, you don't look at anybody. You
right.
don't talk to anyone.
Right.
It's not like women. Women, you go to a woman's bathroom and they're having conversations like, what was on Ellen today? At least that's what I assume.
Right.
I mean, I just don't think that's appropriate. Just get in and get out, do your business and get on the road.
Yeah.
This guy standing next to me, and all of a sudden, I'm not kidding, true story, something dropped in the urinal. Urinal. Okay.
All right.
And I'm done. And I'm beelining it to the mayor.
Okay.
The guy swears. Then he's done, and he walks over to the sink with something in his hand, and he had a quarter in his hand. And I'm a true story. I'm looking at the guy, and I had to say something. I go, you know, in my own voice, I say, excuse me. I mean, you didn't just do what I thought you did you? And he's looking at me, and he goes, it's a quarter. I go, I would have given you a quarter. I said, I have two quarters in my pocket. I would have given you 50 cents for the 25. You should have left it where it was. If a quarter falls in a urinal, you don't just take it out of the urinal.
Oh.
So, true story. The guy's washing it off in his hand. I'm not making this up. And I said to the guy, I would have given you a quarter. Are you kidding me?
That's really gross.
Because when he was in front of the urinal, whatever he was doing, apparently something, he had his hand in his pocket.
Right, and it dropped
because
out.
Because men walk with their hands in their pocket.
I would have left it there.
Okay. I'm saying, just for the record, I've come close to dropping cell phones in toilets and keys. I've caught them in midair. I was a defensive end in high school. But if your phone fell in a toilet or your keys, the keys you have to take out.
Well, yeah.
The phone, what do you do? I mean, but here's the thing. If it's your own house, maybe you feel better about the germs. But if you're at a rest area, a quarter?
I'm sorry. It's not worth digging my hand in a urinal, no matter what, for a quarter.
I told the guy, respectfully, I would have given you 50 cents. You would have made 100% profit. Why'd you stick your hand in a urinal?
Yeah.
And then he's washing the quarter and not his other hand. And at that point, honestly, I just
had to leave.
I darted out of there.
Yeah.
I could not believe what I saw. A quarter. 25 cents.
Oh my gosh.
25 cents to stick your hand in that.
No, worth it. No way.
No.
Never.
Now if it's at your house and it's fresh water, maybe.
Maybe for fresh water, but no matter what, I'll flush that quarter.
That quarter can stay there
gone.
That quarter can make interest for eternity. But what about your keys?
I would go after my keys.
How would you go after them?
I would probably stick my hand in there, or I'd grab a towel or something.
No, you go back out to most of these rest areas. There's an attendant on duty who's paid to be there to clean everything. You go get the attendant who has gloves or a device to get your keys out of there.
But you also have to be careful because they have all those new toilets out there that as soon as you stand up, they flush.
Yeah, but some people pre-flush. I'm just saying. I don't know why, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, but there's a lot of them out there now that automatically you're going to lose your keys no matter what.
But cell phones, folks, my recommendation is if you use anyone's bathroom, make sure your phone is in your car and there's nothing in your pockets or on your lap or in your pocket, your breast pocket,
right,
that could fall out.
Oh, definitely.
Because we've all come. I know that there's a few listeners, yes, out there. They're going, you know what, Todd and Nikki, we've come close. Or if the guy with the quarters listening, and I doubt it because I was outside Detroit,
right,
he could be listening, one of our 31 listeners now. I mean, I just can't get over. I'm just shocked by that still.
No, I'm shocked too.
Never seen anything like that before.
No, I'm speechless.
But hey,
now,
if you're just tuning in for the first time,
your attorney Todd, I'll love it.
And what took you so long?
Yeah, what took you so long?
And we come to you each and every Sunday morning right here on 98.5 WUPS and podcasting, trending high on iTunes. It's free. So if you missed any portion of this show, what can they do, Nikki?
They can either go download iTunes, Podbean, or SoundCloud.
And when we come back from break, we do have a ton of law to talk about. We're going to talk about something to do with homeowners.
Okay.
Everyone's a homeowner,
yes,
or they rent. Somebody has a dwelling they live in. We're going to talk about resisting and obstructing a police officer.
Okay.
We're going to talk a little bit about intentional dissemination of sexually explicit material of another person.
Okay.
When we come back from break, take us out, Nikki. Back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. I am attorney Todd L. Levitt, Mount Pleasant, Michigan. I'll just give out my number, 989-772-6000. Criminal defense from the top of the UP all the way down to St. John's and Lansing.
Yeah, you're all over.
All over.
All over.
All over. And also, I am now specializing in cyber law.
Yes, that's
cyber
new
law. Over the past couple of years, I get contacted.
Right.
There's a lot of catfish going on out there. If you don't know what catfish is, look it up on MTV.
Okay.
But I'm doing a lot of cyber issues.
Let me right. just
anything and everything to do with the internet.
Which is?
Whether you have, you need defending, you have illegal downloaded material and you received a letter from an attorney from the rightful ownerships of
okay.
the music, or there's a lot of students who come to college. A lot of listeners might not know this. They come to college and they illegally download music and pornography.
Ah, yes.
Well, and what they're doing is because they're using their university email, they're signed into the university system. So it's traced from the downloading to the IP addresses right to the university. The university is able to locate these students. I get calls each semester from students and their parents who are caught illegally downloading material, and I'm able to resolve it because the fines and penalties are extreme.
Wow.
So I resolve this for a lot of the students.
Okay.
I do that kind of stuff.
Well, that's good.
Harassment, defamation. There's a lot of copyright issues going on out there. You have a lot of young people.
Right.
Who are using each other's photos for the wrong reason.
Correct.
Which leads me to which I said before a break, intentional decimation of sexually explicit material of another person.
Okay.
Porn revenge law. Porn revenge law. We mentioned it a couple weeks ago. But it's the crime of intentional decimation of sexually explicit visual material of another person. So you have to really listen to what the definition of. It's intentional. So you intentionally, which means you have the mental intent to do so.
Right.
You can't say I was drunk and that's a defense because the intent was there.
Okay.
To decimate, to distribute, sexual, explicit, how do you define explicit? Visual material of another person. This individual found guilty, it's a 93-day misdemeanor, a second offense or subsequent 1 year misdemeanor. So how do you define decimate, post, distribute, publish on a computer device, computer network, website, or other electronic device or medium of communication? Nudity means displaying a person's, I won't say it on the air,
right,
body parts. If that person's a female, then female body parts. If it's a male, then the male body parts. Sexually explicit, I would define that as, you know, photograph or video that depicts nudity of the person.
Right. Yeah, if you have children, it's a scary world out there.
Yeah, I mean, how many, and we talk about this week in and week out. If you look around, it's not just young people, it's adults. Everybody is just stuck in their devices.
They are. That's their way of life now.
I want you to think about this, and I like to make the listeners think, and you think also, we both think.
Right.
It's fantasy world. If everyone out there who's listening to the show right now, if you're at home in a motor vehicle on your way to church or breakfast, or if you're wherever you are outside working, we have a lot of people working right now. Whatever you can see is reality.
Yes.
If you just, you can shut off your phones, your computers and devices. It doesn't exist. It's not real.
You're right.
Think about it.
You're right.
We don't need it. Us older generation people born in the 60s, as you and I were. I mean, I think I'm older than you, born in the 80s.
Right.
But just, you don't need it. It's not reality.
No, it's not.
You will be okay, folks, if you just go off the grid and just go about your day without looking in your devices. And all those Facebook posts and all the communications and the different apps that are out there now and the music and this and that, you don't need it. That's not reality. You can actually put it away. You see?
Everybody needs to disconnect every now and then.
People are stuck people are stuck in the virtual world of the internet. But if you think about it, the United States controls the internet.
Yes. They
say
do.
Whoever they are, and there's a guy who created it, I believe, and I may be wrong, so people can look this up, that it goes back to the 1950s and it was used for military purposes.
Yes, it was.
Is that correct?
Yes.
But I may be wrong, but I think somewhere in the United States someone can just pull a lever and turn the whole thing off.
It could go off.
You ever hear of Illuminati? Yes. You know what that is?
I've heard of it.
A lot of the younger generations in college, they talk about this Illuminati, that somebody controls all the light. I believe that's what it is. Again, I have to look this up. But it has to do with the light.
There was a movie about that.
Illuminati. Is there a song about Illuminati?
There probably is.
I just want to say the word Illuminati.
But like I said, I saw a movie about that where all power just, it was gone. It was completely gone. And then there was a couple people that were able to keep it going.
After 9/11, I was still living in Metro Detroit, as a lot of listeners were are still, who are traveling and up north for the weekend. And in Ohio, there was a grid, electrical grid. And something happened to the grid, and Metro Detroit blacked out.
Really?
Do you recall that?
I was probably up here.
Listen, it was weird. I was in Farmington Hills on Grand River near M5 when it happened. Everything just went out.
Wow.
All the power. And if you drove up 23 towards Fenton, as you got north towards Flint and west towards Grand Rapids, they had power. It was bizarre. There's got to be someone out there who recalls this happening. For 3 days, there was no power. 3 days.
Yeah, that was around 9/11. I was up here.
That's when I became a prepper. I'm not just saying that. That's when I became a prepper and said, you know what? I'm caught up in the world of the internet and all this stuff that we don't really need. I got to go back to what, you know, my ancestors did tens of thousands of years ago.
It's going to happen. It could happen easily.
Make sure I know how to fish.
Yes.
Purify water, shelter, food.
Yes.
And you got to have a plan. Even if there's a national emergency, folks, what's your plan? Look, the world is getting warmer. How? And I'm not going to claim. I am not going to claim that it's because of anything, because I'm not a scientist and I don't believe every scientist. Is it global warming? I don't know. Is it not global warming? I don't know. And frankly, I don't care.
All I know is it's hot.
It's hot. The world was hotter when the dinosaurs were around. That's why they were able to thrive. Did you know that? Vegetation was different. The
Correct.
Earth was hotter.
Yes.
But my point is, I think every family should have a plan in place that you meet up with one another and you survive together. Because you have to.
Well, yeah, you have to.
Think about if something happens and everybody's going to try to head north over the bridge.
Oh, my gosh.
How are you going to cross from Mackinac to the UP if the bridge is tied up?
Yeah, you're not.
Why are you going to wait for a storm to load up on water and food?
You're right.
Why? What if there's no gas?
And that's exactly what everybody does. When they hear the weather report that the biggest blizzard's coming or a heat wave, that's when they stock up.
They had a show on TV about preppers.
I watched that.
That was extreme. But you know what? Was it really extreme?
Actually, it was not.
Think about
Some people did seem to get too extreme, but then in reality, they're protecting their family. They're protecting themselves.
You know,
and they're doing what they feel is right to survive.
Big Second Amendment guy here.
Yes.
Big Second Amendment.
So am I.
For those of you that oppose the Second Amendment, then you should, I'm not going to say it. But my point is, if chaos breaks out, those who oppose the Second Amendment, who are you running to keep your family safe?
Yeah, you're going to
run. The people who are for the Second Amendment.
That's right.
That's all I'm going to say.
You're going to run to them for protection.
That's all I'm going
to
say.
Yep.
But I don't think it's a bad idea to have a plan in place. And here's something else I'd recommend. Now, listeners might think, God, that guy's crazy. I don't know what they think. I don't know if anybody listens. I think my buddy Danny Davis is listening to
me. There we go. You know? I know my mom's listening.
My buddy
listening.
Frank Bailey, Todd Wakely. I got a few friends that listen. But my point is you should always keep your tank half or three-fourths full of gasoline.
I believe in that.
Because when we lost power in Metro Detroit back in the 2000s, that freaked me out. For 3 days, you cannot get gasoline.
Yeah, yeah. And I believed always at least a half a tank.
Okay, I had a generator because I just happened to have generators.
Right.
I happened to live in the woods. I was living in Milford Highland way out.
Okay.
So I had to have a generator because if the wind blew, I lost power.
Yeah.
I had a transformer in front of my house, so every time there was a thunderstorm, it blew the fuse out.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was the last one on the line to get restored because I was living in the woods on 5 acres. I'm not a neighborhood.
Right. So you're not top priority.
I know we're a law show, but I'm trying to prepare the people to think. I want people to think. Last week we talked about the difference between the federal and the state government. I got a lot of feedback on that.
Oh, good.
As you go about your day, who controls your life more, the federal or the state or local communities?
Right.
The state
and
local
communities.
People need
to know that. Yeah. Everyone needed to know that.
Do you agree?
I agree.
So, yeah, I would always keep your tank half. I keep mine three-fourths or full all the time.
See, I think half is where I usually end up.
Here's what you got to ask yourself. You live up north. We live up north.
Yes.
I'm happy that all my neighbors in Clare and Isabella County and the surrounding counties, that the men and women do believe in the Second Amendment. They do hunt. They do fish.
Right.
Because if we had to come together as a community and protect our counties, we could do
well,
it.
Well, yeah. That's good to have that kind of community.
I'm not advocating anything against the government here. I'm talking a little if society broke down, we had a blackout. What if there was a blackout? Look at how these hackers around the world can control what happens to our resources.
Oh, no kidding.
You don't think that some cyber terrorist is going to go out there and try to destroy our infrastructure? When that happens and we don't have the ability to pump water or get gasoline.
Well, yeah, because everything is operated by computers.
So my point is you should have a family plan. And this is not crazy. If you go to any store, they have emergency kits now.
Yes, they do.
Go to J Sporting Goods, they actually have an emergency prepping kit.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them.
I'm just saying.
I was just at J's yesterday.
I'm not just a lawyer. I'm a prepper.
There we go.
And I'm not joking.
No, I have stuff stocked.
You know I am.
Yeah.
But I don't keep anything locally. You don't keep anything locally because if something happens and everybody comes to your house, your neighbors,
they're going
to
see it.
No, that's not how it works. I'm just saying.
Backup plans.
It's a great show.
Yes.
Boy, we really just disclose a lot about ourselves. I don't know how people think of it, but you'd be surprised how many people think like we do.
There are a lot of people. I have a lot of my friends who are preppers.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah.
And they're prepared.
Yeah.
And
I have friends
have
that make their
be.
Own ammo. They make it. They've made shells for myself also.
Really?
Yeah, to go target shooting
yeah.
and just reuse them.
Yeah, I have all mine
One of my
saved.
Best friends actually does that. He's done it for years.
Really?
Pretty cool. Oh, it's amazing how it works.
I might have to have him do some for me.
Yeah, well, you can go up to Jay's. I don't know this for a fact, but I assume Jay's, I'll just go on the record. And if someone from Jay's is listening, which I hope they do,
right.
My buddy Carl works up there.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Carl. What I would say is go to, I'm sure Jay's has the equipment.
Oh, definitely they do.
To, you know, take
yes.
the powder,
it's a
shells, and the equipment.
Yeah, the reloading.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Hey, we have to go to break.
Yes.
I have a lot of law to get to,
yeah,
though.
More papers.
We just talked about prepping.
I know.
We're trying to prepare the listeners.
Get ready.
Get ready. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Yes, Nikki, we really are a law show.
Yes, we are.
We're sort of like an outdoor law show.
Yeah.
Because
tidbits of information on anything.
Another thing is, and you and I were talking about this during break, if you're just tuning in, we've been talking about, boy, all kinds of things. But you can catch us on iTunes, Podbean, or SoundCloud.
That's right.
And it's free, and you can just type in the Todd L. Levitt Law Show feature, Nikki Morissette and Tyler B. Webb, who will be back next week.
Okay.
He's a great guy. Great,
yes,
does a great job, Tyler. And then, so what during break, well, we were talking about prepping and in case the grid goes out, which could happen someday. And
yes,
we're too reliable on these devices. That's how we got on the topic to begin with.
Right. Yeah, we are.
Don't, you know, you could say what you want about Amish. I love the Amish. And some Amish do things that they're not supposed to.
A little bit.
How cool would it be to be Amish and just live off the land?
Well, yeah. That's the way it's supposed to be.
I love seeing those horses and buggies come by. It takes me back to a time that I wish I was from.
Actually, yes.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Because they work hard, you know, for their families.
Right.
And the food and everything.
You should have a transistor radio, a battery-operated transistor radio.
Yes, you should.
And there's also solar panels out there that you can now buy to recharge batteries to keep your transistor radio going.
Now that I'm interested
how's
in finding
that for
out
some,
about.
How's that for some
that
prepping information?
Yes.
I also own GoPros. I'm a tech guy, too. But all right, look, let's talk about homeowners.
Okay.
This is criminal law. Let me ask you a question, okay? Nikki, that you are the power of attorney for a family member,
okay,
which would give you the right to dispose of any real or personal property belonging to that family member.
Okay.
And the power of attorney is very broad and it can be very specific, but I'm just saying at this time, the power of attorney gives you, Nikki, the right to dispose of any real or personal property of a relative. So let's just say this relative happens to be a grandfather.
Okay.
All right. Or your father. Let's say your father.
All right.
Okay. This is a hypothetical. And your father owns a house, has a home, which is subject to a mortgage.
Right.
I mean, remember, you have the power of attorney, but that mortgage went into default and the bank foreclosed on your father's home. And it was sold at a sheriff's sale.
Okay.
And from the date it was sold, you would have 6 months to void the purchase and redeem the home by paying the buyer the full purchase price.
Okay.
But the home was not redeemed. You didn't redeem the house during the redemption period.
Okay.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yep, I follow you.
Okay. But during this period of time, you removed fixtures, lights, sinks, let's say cabinets from the home, after it was foreclosed on during the redemption period.
Okay.
You follow me? The house was sold. It was already sold, but after it was sold, there was a time for you to pay the full purchase price to the person who bought it.
Okay.
And but yet you didn't buy it back. You go into the home.
All right.
And now you're taking all the fixtures out. They have a lot of meaning to you, Nikki.
All right.
I mean, these were things that you grew up with, and you wanted to take these fixtures. A fixture is something attached to the real property.
Correct.
Personal property is something that is loose.
Correct.
A shoe, dishes, towels, couches, unless the couch is, you know, bolted to the house.
Right.
Then it becomes, you know, then it's a fixture.
Correct.
It's affixed. That's why it's affixed to the real property. So now let's say you did all this and you removed all the property and the person that bought the house, for whatever reason, it has permission to come into the home that they just purchased during the redemption period. They discover everything removed.
Okay.
And they suspect you because you were the power of attorney of your father and it's his house.
Right.
He calls the police. They go to your house and they find all the fixtures.
Okay.
And then you're charged with larceny in a dwelling house and receiving and concealing stolen property.
Wow.
So the question is, did you commit larceny and receiving and concealing stolen property?
I believe the answer would be yes.
Why?
Because the house was not mine at the time because I didn't purchase it back. They have already bought it. And if there's paperwork that goes with it that says what is included with the sale, as far as all the fixtures and everything, then it belongs to them.
So let's say during the redemption period, here's some more facts for you. Because during the redemption period, you would have retained the legal title and right to possess the property during the redemption period. So this is an actual case.
Okay.
And the case it's an interesting case, and it's People versus March. It's a great case. And so before trial, so this did happen.
Okay.
And the person was charged with, arrested and charged with larceny in a dwelling and receiving and concealing stolen property. So before the trial, the attorney for the individual filed a motion to dismiss the charges and argued that since he had retained legal title and right to possession of the property during the redemption period, he could not be found to have wrongfully taken the property of another when he removed the fixtures during the period. How can you be charged with stealing something you had a right to take? That's what this person argued.
But they didn't purchase the house back.
But it's during the redemption period. Okay? So after the house was
sold,
foreclosed on,
right,
sold at auction,
yes,
there's a six-month time period where you have a right to buy it back.
Right.
So the question is, who owns the home during that redemption period? Who retains title and right to possession of the home?
Wow, that could go either way, considering that you've already got someone who bought it and you have a right to buy it back.
Remember, this is a criminal case. So,
yeah.
Okay, the trial court actually agreed with the attorney and dismissed all the charges against this individual.
So this person was able to bought the house and didn't get any of the fixtures. So that
no,
person
hold
was
on.
Able to keep them.
There's more to the story.
All right.
The prosecutor appealed to the Court of Appeals.
Right.
And the Court of Appeals, by the way, folks, there's three judges who sit as a panel.
Okay.
On the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals is really interesting. If you really want to see how our system works, good, bad, the good, the bad, and the ugly, go watch the Court of Appeals work.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Right. Go downtown Detroit and watch the court. There's different appeal judges that sit in different districts. Depends on where the case is.
Okay.
Real interesting. You would think, because you're a judge, and I have nothing but respect for judges here, that the judges, oh, they're judges. They know the law. They know how to make the right decisions. That's not always the case. That's why things get appealed and reversed. And
right.
That's why how law becomes law.
Okay.
Now, so the trial judge agreed and dismissed the charges. The prosecutor, rightfully so, prosecutor's just doing his or her job, and appealed to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals reversed the trial court and said, no, you're wrong. That person did commit criminal activity. Then it went up to the Michigan Supreme Court.
Oh, wow.
All right. And you want to hear what the Supreme Court held?
That they
tune
were still
in next
guilty.
Week, Nikki, to hear what the Supreme Court held. I got to fill up my tank of gas. I can't give out the answer. No, I got the answer.
All right.
The Michigan Supreme Court held that since the homeowner held the exclusive possessory right in the home and its fixtures at the time of the alleged larceny, he could not have wrongfully disposed anyone else of the rightful possession of that property, including the foreclosure sale purchaser. The Michigan Supreme Court found that this individual's actions did not constitute larceny in a dwelling house because the property of another was not stolen. Larceny is the trespassery.
Right.
Taking the personal property of another.
Correct.
With the intent to defraud or deprive them of their possession.
Right.
You have to have two things for the crime of larceny. The intent. You have to have the mental intent.
Right.
And the act itself.
Right.
So in criminal law, unless it's a strict liability issue, you have to prove the intent and the act.
Okay.
You follow me?
Yes.
Law school 101 right there. So the Supreme Court found because the property of another was not stolen, and since it wasn't stolen, the individual's actions did not constitute receiving and concealing stolen property. But hold on. Let me throw some caution out there. Because the Supreme Court did say that the individual's actions may have given rise to other criminal offenses. And I haven't researched the case
right.
deep enough, but I think it's interesting.
Yes.
So apparently during the time period of redemption, whoever holds title, the Michigan Supreme Court is saying that that individual who was power of attorney in place of his father had the right to go in there and remove all the fixtures.
But I'm surprised, though, don't usually with a foreclosure, they lock you out of that house?
But if they lock you out and the Michigan Supreme Court says you have a right to be in the house, remove fixtures, then you can't break into your own house if you have a right to be
can't.
In there. And here's another thing. If you're a tenant, you could be a tenant and not have a lease. So here's an example.
Right.
Nikki Morissette invites Tyler B. Webb or anybody
right.
to your house.
Okay.
They stay for 2 weeks.
Yes.
They bring their clothes there. They have belongings there. They park in a driveway. They're on the couch.
Yes.
You say, I've had it. I want you out of here. Guess what?
I have to evict him.
They're a tenant. You have to evict that person. So here's a story. Tyler goes to work. You change the lock. Tyler comes back, breaks the lock, comes into the house. You call the police. They arrest Tyler for home invasion and malicious destruction of property for breaking the lock. in the state of Michigan, he shouldn't be charged. He should not even be arrested because he was a tenant, had a right to lawfully be in there. And as a landlord, you cannot lock out your tenant.
Wow.
That is an absolute fact, folks.
I just find that as unbelievable an attorney, after
no,
two
as an
weeks.
Attorney, I know landlord-tenant law inside right. and out. It's one, believe it or not, it's one of my specialties. I don't really talk about it on air.
Right.
And the truth is, folks, I don't call me. I mean, you can call me with questions, but regarding landlord-tenant law, Gavin McClintock in Mount Pleasant, my good friend Gavin McClintock, he's a great landlord-tenant lawyer.
Okay.
I send everyone to Gavin. So don't even call me. Call Gavin. Hope Gavin doesn't mind. I just told everyone to call him. Call Gavin McClintock.
Yeah, but he'll help them out.
But that's interesting.
Yes, because I wouldn't have, well, I know we've talked about it before, you know, several weeks ago, but I never thought that somebody after being there only 2 weeks would be considered a tenant by Michigan law.
Absolutely. We have an update on assault and battery of a pregnant person. So we have to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about that, which is absolutely disgusting. No one should ever assault anybody, let alone a pregnant woman.
No.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in for the first time.
What took you so long?
And if you missed any of our show, we've had a huge show.
Oh, yes, we have.
No, this is jam-packed with one thing, law.
Yes, it is.
A lot of law. And we had a real interesting story in the first segment about my experience at a rest stop where a man dropped a quarter in the urinal next to me, and then I'm at the sink washing my hands, and he walks up, grabbed the quarter out of what he was doing and started washing. And I said, are you kidding me? I'll give you 50 cents.
Yeah, go download to catch that part of this segment.
Another shout out to my buddy Aaron Coltrane coming on in 2 weeks. Next week,
yes.
Dr. Bob Peterson's coming back. He's running for House of Representative, 97th District. He won the primary. Big fan of Dr. Bob. Got to get him elected.
Yes, we do.
He's on his way. So, folks, please vote.
Yes.
And Aaron Coltrane's coming on in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Aaron S. Coltrane. Todd L. Levitt. I always use our middle names. Great lawyer, great guy out of Roscommon, Michigan. Love Roscommon. Big shout out to everyone that works in Roscommon.
Yes.
And folks, I don't care where you go. Don't give men and women a hard time, whether they're cashiers, checkout clerks, men and women that work at the Secretary of State offices. These people are just doing their jobs. People who deal with the public, like at the post office, why would you go up to the counter and give them a hard time? Do you know what they have to deal with every day?
You're right.
How many people are built to deal with people every day? Like you and I are. I am. I could. That's how my DNA can handle that.
Right.
But a lot of people, you know, they want to complain to men and women who are just doing their jobs, and it's not their fault.
But you've got some people. I was at a restaurant recently. I'm not going to name the place, but we ordered some pizzas. And
deep dish or?
They were just a regular pizza. They were having a special
on pizzas.
I'm a former
Domino's guy for 5 years. So I can make 1,000 pizzas.
They had specials. You know, buy two pizzas, you get a special price. So, of course, ended up being two topping pizzas. We wanted one of them to be the chicken bacon with ranch. They couldn't make it the special. So she actually got pretty snippy saying, oh, fine, I'll just do it. I could get in trouble for this. And I'm thinking, you know, that could have been your tip. You could at least talk about it and respect that what it's still a two-topping
pizza.
First
off, right. Here's the thing. That waitress may have been having a bad day, but you don't bring it to work.
No, I mean, she was really rude.
And here's the thing. Let's talk about briefly. Speaking of restaurants, big shout out to Pudgy's up at Pudgy's.
Oh,
up there
God,
in Harrison.
I love Pudgy's.
Pudgy's a great guy. Right next to Harrison Power Sports. Love everybody up there.
Yes.
Here's the point. As a former waiter, I worked at Una's Pizzeria. I worked all over the
right.
place. All kinds of restaurants, Domino's Pizza. I guarantee you, if you're the owner of a restaurant and someone has a special order so you don't lose that business and you give great customer service, you'll have whoever's cooking modify it to fit their needs. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
So that waitress, if that was my waiter waitress, I would pull them aside and say, guess what? This is a customer. Whatever they want to order, we will accommodate.
Yeah, I mean, we were
willing. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, we were willing to pay that little bit more.
And by the way,
but just didn't have to be rude about it.
I want
to
complain. Speaking of pizzas, when I was 16 years old, I started working for Domino's, store 1029, 11 Mile in Coolidge.
I can't believe you remember the address.
No, it's not the. It's a store number.
Okay.
Tom Monahan owned it. My delivery. That was right when
Tom Monahan owned it.
Yeah, that's when Domino's Pizza. He bought the Tigers at that time. We had a Detroit Tigers. That's when Domino's. Before they started spreading every other mile. And I loved it. It's a shameless plug. I love their pizza.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, to all those men and women, I was a closer.
Okay.
Even though I had to go to school. On weekends, I worked till 2 in the morning. And I always had that manager that would take the phone call at 5 to 2 before we closed while I'm still folding 100 boxes. I have to mop the floors and break down the line and get the cheese out of all the little compartments. Oh, you got to break it down. I did that for years.
Well, yeah.
But to the men and women who at 5 to 2 ordered those pizzas, drunk ordered them. I'm 16. I know what I was doing. And it was always a delivery area that was the farthest in our delivery area. So we're at 11 in Coolidge. Nobody knows where this is. Maybe a lot of listeners do. And at that time, we were going deep into Royal Oak and all the way up like the 13 and 14 in Woodward and Campbell Road.
Right.
So that would be, if you're in Mount Pleasant, all the way up to Clare.
Yeah, basically.
Or almost to Coleman in some cases, Oil City. The light was never on. Most of the time, you cannot find the homeowner. And I still had to go back and finished folding my boxes. You always had to fold so many boxes and mop the entire place and break down the line because I was a closer.
Right.
So that means like after 12:30, I had to take all the runs.
Correct.
And make the pizzas. And you always put the cheese on the outside because it's going to burn in. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you
know
had to make sure the cheese is on the outside because it's going to burn towards the middle.
Wow.
Little pizza place.
There we go.
But here's the thing. To all those people, you know, can I say screw you on the area? To all the men and women who ordered those pizzas when I was a kid for years, and to the managers who took those calls, did you really need the extra $8, $9? I mean, come on.
Not really.
I mean, I'm talking about to make your weekly, you know.
Yeah, their quota.
Yeah, they watch the numbers from week to week, month to month, to see year to year what they're bringing in. I mean, I remember watching
that. Well,
they
want to be the top-selling store.
It doesn't
matter.
Okay, I'm 16, 17 years of age.
You shouldn't have been out there that late running that far.
I secure a cattle prodder with me. I know the statute of limitations has told. Oh, that was crazy. I'm not, because in those days, Royal Oak, which is a nice city to grow up in, there were some rough characters.
There was
a lot of crazy people that were just living in these boarding houses off of Washington on 11 Mile in Royal Oak.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to tell you something. I got chased with a knife one time. I just threw the damn pizza in the air and took off. Didn't even get the money.
Well, it's scary. And especially for a 16-year-old.
Well, I mean, I was a big 16-year-old. I mean, but still. I mean, I had to go into these boarding houses. I don't want to bore everybody, but to all the managers and management, you know, screw you. And to all the people who used to order those pizzas at 5 to 2. You know, that's why I never go into a restaurant or a business near closing time because of that experience.
Wow. Okay.
Think about that. If you go to a restaurant with a half hour left before it closes, I'm going to tell you something, folks, as a former restaurant food person, they've already broken down the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, everything's wrapped up. Even though they have a time, they've already done it.
Exactly.
They have. They want to go home.
You know, and what else used to upset me because I was a waiter also is that when someone would, you know, I'm already, you know, I'm a closer again. I'm checking everybody out, making sure they refill this, refill that. The ice, you know, there's things you had to do. You know, the making sure one waiter doesn't steal the other person's sugar off their table just to fill theirs so they can get out and party.
Right.
But what always upset me was when someone would come in at a half hour before we closed, knowing we were going to close. But you have to stay open. It's business.
I know.
But folks, be respectful of men and women who work in these type of situations. They have families. They want to go home.
You're right.
And as a young waiter, I just want to go out.
Well, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you got your tips. You want to go home.
But a closer, you stay late and you check people out. But those people always upset me. And there's a lot of people out there who like to go out when it's not so crowded.
Which I can understand.
Oh,
but
I can understand that too. Oh, I was supposed to talk about a pregnant woman.
All right, here we go.
Okay. I forgot. So MCL 750.81 of the Michigan Penal Code, assault and battery of a pregnant individual. First of all, you shouldn't assault anyone, especially someone pregnant, especially a woman. Don't assault anyone. A person who assaults and batters a pregnant individual, knowing that the individual is pregnant, is only guilty of a misdemeanor punishable not more than 93 days in jail and a fine of not more than $500 or both. Are you kidding me? If you assault a pregnant woman, that should be a felony.
Well, yeah, you need a lot more time and a lot more money than that.
We're going to talk to Dr. Bob about that because I want him when he gets to the House of Representatives because he's going to win. We got to still get on and vote.
Yeah.
But if you assault a pregnant woman, or you shouldn't assault any woman.
No, but that's like assaulting two people. So
right.
I'm sorry, you got an unborn child there. You need.
There's a code out there, folks.
$400 or $500
fine. There's a code out there. That's all I'm going to say. Enough said.
Yes.
Orange is the New Black. Check it out. Netflix. Netflix.
I've watched.
Nikki, what a huge show.
It was a huge show.
No, ridiculous.
It
Check
was.
Us out on iTunes, Podbean, or SoundCloud sometime this week. It's a free show. You got to listen to this show.
You have to. Yeah. Yes. There was a lot of information.
We're out of time. I'll see you next week. You have a great afternoon.
You too.
Everybody out there, thanks for listening. Stay tuned to 98.5 all the time, 24 hours, 7 days a week.
There we go.
I'm not just a litigator.
You're an advocator.
Take us out, Van Halen.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show is brought to you by Chad Melly Well Drilling in Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's newest full-line Arctic Cat dealer, the Sour Apple Smoke Shop in Mount Pleasant, the best damn smoke shop around, Dr. Robert Townsend for 97th District. Send a doctor to the house. Safe Ride Associates. Check with Neil for all your communication needs, from intercom to CB to Bluetooth, and by Innovative Insulation Systems. For those cold and hot days, make sure your insulation pays.